Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. Back again today with just something I caught in, online in a couple of publications. One was Sports Witness. I can't remember the other one. I think it was a Turkish newspaper as well that I seemed to just come across. And it was that Aston Villa and Unai Emery in particular is interested in Vedat Muriki, who is a Kosovan striker. He's currently playing with Mallorca, signed with Mallorca last year on loan and signed with them permanently this year from Lazio. He's 6'4" and he's a big different type of striker. Before I go any further with this, the likelihood of us signing Vedat Muriki is probably low, but I just thought he was an interesting character. He was an interesting striker. He's had an interesting career, albeit the majority of it has been in Turkey. He's 28 years of age and he's hit La Liga and he started to score for fun there at the moment. And he's a different type of striker than what we have already. Is he going to sign for Aston Villa? Probably not. May not. He may not do, but... It as I say, he has been linked tentatively with Aston Villa recently. The Birmingham Mail had picked up on a couple of things as well and had printed it on their online editions with regards to Vedat Muriki. So that's why I'm going to take a little look into him. And also the fact that it seems that Unai Emery is looking for a big striker, a taller striker. I'm not going to say a less mobile striker because this guy isn't immobile at all in any way, shape or form. And just like when we spoke about Marcus Thuram, he's a bigger guy, someone who can win the ball in the air. And I think we'll all agree that while our strikers offer lots of effort on the ground, they are really good in the air. And for a team that crosses the ball or has crossed the ball traditionally as much as we have over the last 2 to 3 years, I think it'd be nice to have a small bit of heft in there. So that's why I think this guy is a small bit interesting. So for all of you who are going to comment underneath there saying this is never going to happen, that it's paper talk, whatever, I fully understand that. I'm interested in talking about the player, and I know a lot of other people here that watch the podcast and watch the channel are interested in getting to know about these players as well and seeing what they potentially could offer to Aston Villa too. So with that little disclaimer out of the way, let's take a little look at Vedat Muriki. As I say, he's Kosovan international. He's played for Kosovo 44 times, scored 23 goals. Obviously, Kosovo were only on the... officially ratified, I think, as a nation within FIFA since 2014, I think it could be. 44 games, 23 goals is a nice return for Kosovo so far. He did play under 21 for Albania at that time. He had to play under 21 for Albania in 2013. due to the ratification of Kosovo as an actual country within FIFA. So started off his career at I can't even pronounce the name of the team, Lira Prizren, and then moved on to Tetuta Durres, both of them in the Albanian league. And from there in 2014, he got his move to Turkey. His first move to Turkey was to a team called Giresunspor, where he scored 21 goals in 57 games. Moved on to Gençler Birlikte in 2016, scoring 5 and 46. So that move wasn't as fruitful for him when he moved there. But then he did move on to Rizespor, scoring 25 goals in 50 games. That move then got him a move to over that year got him a move to Fenerbahce, where he scored 15 in 32. And then on the back of that, he moved to Serie A, and he moved to Serie A in 2020 to Lazio. He started 38 games and only scored one goal, and there was a lot of reasons for the difficulties in him actually hitting the ground running with regards to Serie A. There was number one, it was during COVID. A lot of the games were truncated. A lot of his ability to train was truncated, and so on. But it was considered a failure for him in Serie A. And from there, in 2022, at the start of last season, or at the middle of last season, he moved to Mallorca, where he scored 5 goals in 16 for Mallorca. And this season, he has come back and he has hit the heights, scoring 8 league goals in 12 games. And overall, he has an overall record of 13-29 for Mallorca since he joined them in all competitions last season. So that's not a bad return for this guy. He seems to, obviously, he hit the heights in Turkey with Rizespor, and then Fenerbahce, playing in the Superliga, playing in the Champions League at that period of time. First Kosovan, I think, ever to play in the Champions League as well, against Dortmund when he talked out for Fenerbahce. But his move to Serie A didn't work out. And look, all players will have one move that doesn't work out, and the majority of players will have one move that doesn't work out. But then his move to Mallorca certainly has worked out for him. And as I say, he's scoring, he's 8 goals already in 12 La Liga appearances this season. That is not to be sniffed at. I think he's only second to Lewandowski in the scoring charts in La Liga this season. So he's an interesting character. As I say, will Aston Villa sign him? I think not. I think it's probably, I would give it maybe a 20% chance that he signs for Aston Villa, but he's an interesting character. We're going to take a little look at him as well. One of the things that you look at when you look at Vedat Muriqi, and I watched a couple of his games, thank everything that is to be thanked for the scouting software that I have, because it's actually really, it gives me great insight, I suppose, and gives me great ability to be able to watch these games and watch truncated clips of these proper clips, you know, over a course of maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I'm very thankful to have access to it. And specifically when you're looking at somebody like Vedat Muriqi, whereby you want to see little things that he does, because obviously in these scouting videos, I can't show videos, number one. And second of all, I don't want to be sitting here for an audio point of view, because a lot of people listen to this on the audio podcast. I don't want to be sitting here and talking about a lot of still shots that I've taken over the 7 or 8 games that I might watch of these players. And that's going to be the same for this guy, Vedat Muriqi. But I have taken some nice little snippets to showcase things that I've seen him do regularly and things that I feel are part of his arsenal and not just flashes in the pan. So we will speak about those in a moment. But as always, for anybody on the audio podcast, if you want to check this out on YouTube, I will talk through this as much as I can, as I am just about to show up my slide deck here for Vedat Muriqi for Mallorca. And I've only quoted Sports Witness there. And specifically, the only reason I've done that is because I've forgotten the other publications that have linked Vedat Muriqi to Aston Villa here. So let's take a little look at him here. He's this is the radial graph that we like to use. And the radial graph here showcases, I suppose, some of the areas that I think are beneficial for strikers within the parameters that we have now, and also I suppose these are just some of the areas that I like to see from our strikers. And what we can firstly see from Vedat Muriqi is that all around he seems to be a pretty decent player. Yes, we've got some anomalies there. Danny Ings does have some anomalies with regards to his goals per shots taken, and that usually does tend to tend to skew things when we look at this radial graph, because he has a very good goals to shots taken ratio, considering that he hardly ever gets the ball for Aston Villa. But that's a conversation for another day. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to steer your attention away from the radial graph at the moment, because one of the things that I haven't included in this radial graph is more so kind of aerial ability, and it's something that I'm actually going to include in future, and I'm going to take out one of them. I just haven't decided what one of those metrics I'm going to take out yet. But Vedat Muriqi would be brought in specifically for his aerial ability. He would be brought in. He's got a really good shots total as well. So he takes a lot of shots in games. Shots on targets total, as we can see there, is 35.7%. It's not really great. It puts him in the bottom third of strikers amongst the top five leagues in Europe. But his aerial duels won, 53.6%. I'm not saying that's all he can do, and we will see that in a moment. He is quite adept with his feet. He's very good at scoring goals with both feet. He's a good penalty taker as well. But what we want, or what I'm interested in this guy, and what I think that Unai Emery might want, because when you look at some of the players he's had previously, he's had like the Gerard Romero's, they've been good in the air. And we don't really have a striker that's really good in the air. Yes, Ollie Watkins can hold the ball up from time to time, and you know, we can get the ball into feet with Danny Ings from time to time as well. But we don't have one of those guys who can occupy defenders. And it was interesting to see Marcus Thuram recently as well being linked, because he's somebody who offers a bit of heft to him. He's a bigger body type of striker. He's got a very, very rounded skill set. And Vedat Muriqi, for a price less than Thuram. Thuram has been quoted at some serious prices. And also, Thuram has been linked with Bayern Munich, with Dortmund, with Inter, with Arsenal, you know, with a lot of teams that Aston Villa would have to fight with. Vedat Muriqi doesn't seem to be linked with teams in that ilk. Although back in 2020, when he was with Fenerbahce before he moved to Lazio, Spurs were really, really interested in him, and they made a big play to sign him, and he decided then to go to Serie A. And to Lazio at that time. I don't know any more into that or why that would be the case, but that is something that I've read up on Vedat Muriqi as to why that would happen. So when we look at their scoring frequency every 209 minutes, that's aggregated out over the last two seasons, which makes it last 365 days as opposed to 135 days, 365 days. Pass attempts, he's very good at linking the play. He attempts lots of passes, but his pass completion rate is rather low, even that bearing that as a striker as well. So look, when you get the ball up to him, he is going to hold that ball up. He's going to get a lot of touches on the ball. He's going to get a lot of flick-ons for players to run on. He's going to be able to hold it up and play that ball backwards to people. But if you're expecting him to play an awful lot of killer passes, that's not something this guy will do. And I think once you see him play, that's not something you would expect him to do based on his physical and his metabolic makeup. That when you just take one look at him, the eyeball test, that's not what you would be bringing him in there for. Very rarely gets dispossessed, and I wanted to bring this one up here. So he's in the top 80% for dispossession, so he doesn't get dispossessed that often. And you know, we tend to see that our strikers, either the ball either sticks to them or they don't get it at all. And that puts pressure on our midfield. And we've much maligned our midfield over the last 2 years, or probably even since we've gotten back into the Premier League. The midfield has been much maligned. It's been very passive. We've spoken about it. We've talked about why we can't get a foothold in midfield. And one of the reasons is that, you know, sometimes when you kick the ball off a brick wall up top and the ball just keeps on coming back against you, you know, you're constantly turning backwards and forwards and you never get an opportunity to settle yourself in midfield, to play the territory game in midfield, to play that zonal kind of game that most midfields will play, whereby players will be able to get set, get into positions. That doesn't happen when your strikers are continuously losing the ball, and when you have to continuously play the ball wide and maybe go to more of a counter-attacking formation. We've all seen that with Aston Villa previously. Having a bigger-bodied striker like Muriqi would allow us to mix up the play. He's not a one-trick pony from that point of view. He's not Ronaldo of the late 90s, early 2000s. He's something in the, like, he's a functional player who's got decent feet and can hold up the ball and has a decent scoring record over the last 365 days. So he's somebody that I think that would be interesting. I could see why Unai Emery would be looking at it. A different type of player, allowing you to play a different type of way. And, you know, if Unai Emery is very serious about playing two strikers up top, having strikers that can do different things, to pair strikers together, it's very, very beneficial. It doesn't make us one-dimensional. It doesn't mean that if we just play Mariki, teams will know we're going to go long. It absolutely wouldn't, because we would have the Ings and the Watkinses beside that can run the channels, that can play balls through the centre, they can get onto balls through the centre, and Mariki can do that as well. And we're going to take a little look at that in a moment. Because if you were to just define him by his height and by what he's been asked to do throughout the course of his career, which is utilize his height as a 6'4" target man, you know, you'd kind of sell him slightly short. Like, he's not a world beater. And we're going to be honest here with this. He's not a world beater, but he's a guy who works well in fits and starts. He's a guy who works well in certain situations, and has worked well with certain teams. And when you get him into a team where he starts scoring goals, he starts scoring goals. So is it a bit of a risk? I think, really, you know, he's had two blips in his copybook, as we mentioned previously, one with Lazio and one move that he made within the Turkish league. But most of all, he's had seasons where he's gotten to double figures, and, you know, he's become a very, very functional player within a lot of those teams. So one of the things that you'll see from him is that, you know, he's very, very good at leading the line. That goes without saying. You know, you can leave him up top on his own. He will occupy one, if not two, defenders. He's not going to get muscled out off the ball in situations. And I think from time to time we see that an awful lot. You know, his movement is very, very important, because what you see with his movement is he's not afraid to turn and run directly, but also you can see by his heat map down below there that he does move laterally. So what he does, and this is another really interesting part as well, because if you guys watch Aston Villa's build-up play from time to time, if the out ball through midfield isn't there, and a lot of times it isn't, from our goalkeeper to go to centre half and then the centre half to go to our pivot in midfield, if that isn't there, Emi Martinez will kick the ball diagonally towards the sideline. Now, do we want Vedat Muriki? Do you want your big guy out there? No. But if your big guy is out there, this guy's going to be able to bring that ball down. He's going to be able to control it, lay it off. Or he's going to be able to knock it on to the likes of maybe a Buendia, maybe a Coutinho. When we spoke about Marcus Thuram, when we spoke about him, we mentioned that we want our strikers need to be, when we look at the strikers that we have at the moment, the Danny Ings and the Ollie Watkins, it seems to be a case that they have to make their chances, or they have to be the ones that score the chances for them to affect the game. And what we wanted, and that could be difficult, because that could be another reason as to why the likes of Buendia, why the likes of Coutinho aren't really getting into games and affecting games at all, because Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings are probably doing too much work outside of their functional role of being a striker. Now, if you've got somebody like Mariki here, what, by doing that, by being able to come to the sideline or come into the channels to win maybe a crossfield ball, it pulls centre halves out of the defence. Okay, obviously a centre half isn't going to follow him to the sideline. If that centre half doesn't follow him to the sideline, he's got a mismatch with a fullback. But what happens here is that we would be thinking that him winning the ball would be a precursor to getting more out of these two players, or more out of our attacking speedier players, the likes of Coutinho, Bailey, Buendia, Jacob Ramsey, because it opens up that space in the middle. If the fullback doesn't track him, a midfielder has to track him. A centre half, if a centre half leaves, brilliant, that plays right into our hands. But it is unlikely that the centre half will do that. And the fact that this guy isn't just going to be a beanpole a la Libor Kozak, who's just going to stand up there and just basically be there to win the ball when it comes down the middle, that can be beneficial to the team as well. And we will look at this in a moment in some slides that I have. He's very adept at finding space. You know what? For somebody who's 6'4", sometimes he can hide himself. All right? That's going to sound pretty silly. So, and the way that he does that is by dropping off defenders and turning and doing things that they don't expect him to do, which would be diagonal runs across him, or instead of trying to, or diagonal runs across them instead of running directly at them. You know, you think of big strikers like a Peter Crouch. Peter Crouch, actually, this guy is pretty like Peter Crouch from the point of view that Peter Crouch had good feet for a big man. You've often heard that thrown out around about him. This guy is pretty decent feet as well. Yes, his pass completion statistics don't show it there, but this guy is pretty good feet. We're going to actually see something in a moment where he can get swiveled and turned in the box when he wins that, when he wins the ball, like we want all good strikers to do. You know, so he, as I say, I want to stress again, this guy isn't the second coming of Niall Quinn. Okay, he's not the second coming of that big striker that you're going to want, but he's a very functional player. And I can understand if we were interested in him, I could understand some benefits he would bring to the team. And once again, I would say there's probably about a 20% chance this guy is even on our radar. But he's an interesting person to talk about because it gives us trends that potentially Aston Villa are looking at. And we've been linked to two strikers so far, and both of them have been big dudes. And I think that's what we're going to look at, somebody with a bit more oomph up there to complement the strikers that we already have.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to move on here to some more slides. I had a couple of more notes on him there, but I think I've covered majority of everything that I wanted to speak on there. So what I want to see, what I want to show here is this is where he's playing for Kosovo against Northern Ireland. And I wanted to pick Northern Ireland because Northern Ireland are going to be a team that's going to play more like an English-based team. You know, all the players for Northern Ireland are going to be playing in the English League system, potentially the Scottish League system, a handful of them playing in the Northern Irish League. But I wanted to see what, I wanted to look at maybe how he reacted to this type of pressure, I suppose, or defensive kind of setup that we would see within the English leagues. And what we can see here is that he gets involved in a little bit of grapple with the centre half here. I'm not sure who that centre half is. I think it might be Johnny Evans. I can't remember. But the winger has the ball out here on the sideline. You can see there where the arrow is going. The arrow is going towards Vedat Muriqi here. But what happens is he gets involved in a little bit of a kind of a hand-holding contest here with the defender. And he resists the urge to push the defender to the ground. But what he does is he's able to play through the centre and he's able to shrug off the centre half here without committing a foul. Look, big guys like this, 6'4", it can be difficult sometimes and they don't get the rub of the green. But what he does here is he actually disengages backwards and then propels himself forwards and shrugs off the defender here. And what happens is the ball gets played through and he gets the, you can see the defender here is kind of left in no man's land after being shrugged off. The ball makes its way to him here on the edge of the area and he just lets fly with his right foot and he's there. He's what? That's the 18-yard box. He's probably another six yards out from the goal there. So if we're saying he's 25 yards out, he plants this one in the bottom right-hand corner, the goalkeeper's left here, and it's an absolutely fantastic finish. Takes an early snapshot after breaking free, and it was a controlled finish into the bottom corner. I thought it was just a really, really nice goal, and it showed that, you know, you can look at this guy, you can look at his statistics and see him powering headers into the back of the net. You can see him blasting penalties into the back of the net. But this is a nice, deft little finish for him. And he finds the bottom corner and he finds it deliberately. It wasn't a swing and hope. He finds it deliberately into the bottom corner. And I just like the look of this. As I say, he's got a really good scoring record for Kosovo in the Nations League and in qualifiers as well. So this wasn't exactly... this wasn't exactly unexpected to see him score a goal like this. When we move on to the next part, yeah, so we can see it here. So it goes into the bottom right-hand corner there. This is just, he keeps it nice and low and arrows it into the bottom corner of the goal. That's just the next still shot of this goal. Moving on here, this is a really interesting one because this is what most people will expect of a big guy here. So what we have here is Mallorca have a throw-in. He occupies the centre half close to goal like any good number nine. So he's there on the centre half, closest man to the goalkeeper from Mallorca point of view. This ball comes into him. It's obviously a throw-in here, as I say. This is Mallorca versus Almeria. So the ball comes into him here. It's in the dying moments of the first half. Ball comes into him and he's able to control the ball here. So the ball, I can't remember how it finds its way to him here, but I don't think it was directly from the throw. I think the ball finds its way to him in this instance here. If I was to bet, this guy who's shaping up here towards the edge of the area, I think has slid the ball into him. He picks the ball up with his back to goal. Defender in front of him, another defender to his right-hand side. But what he does really well here and what you want to see a number nine do, takes that ball in, he shields it brilliantly from the centre half. He's comfortable with the defender covering him to the front and covering him to the back. And what he does is, because he's left-footed, he's able to make a very little deft shift of the ball to his right-hand side. And he utilises the defender behind him and brings him with him to actually take the other defender who's further back in the goals away from him. And you can see here when the ball comes to him, he's looking around to see where players are. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's utilizing, he's moving his weight, he's moving his center of gravity, he's bringing players with him, and he's utilizing those defenders in a tiny tiny space here to be able to get that ball around into an opportunity for him to have a shot on goal. And what we see here is that he gets that ball all the way here, uses one defender to shield the other. And from here, he has a snapshot with his left foot and it goes in at the near post, right into the top corner. Absolutely brilliant goal. And one that I can't remember an Aston Villa striker scoring in a long, long time. A type of goal like that where somebody was able to get the ball in, be comfortable moving their body around, shifting it to the side. Yes, might the defending be a small bit better? I think it would, but it's going to take a hell of a lot for anybody to get around Muriqi here. The goalkeeping, there was nothing he could have done about the goal here, the goalkeeper. He just arrows it into the top corner, takes a swing at it, and I thought it was a really, really good illustration of what this guy can do in tight spaces, because he is known for being able to work his feet, move around in those tight spaces, and as I say, he can hide himself in space as well for such a big man, which is quite interesting. Last one we have here, we see him, he's back in it. He was back helping out his defense. That's him there. He's nowhere near the nearest man to the goals. Breaking from a defensive position. He keeps up with the play. He's not an Olympic sprinter by any matter of means. He's a big, tall man. He's got a long, languid stride. He's not slow, but he's obviously not like a roadrunner that's going to be out there. But he keeps up with play here, and we can see it. Keeps up with play and continues his run. It's a very direct run. He knows exactly what's going to happen. But I think what's more important is that the team around him know what's going to happen. So the team around him here are shifting that ball wide because they can see he's on the trudge down the middle of the field. And what we can see here is they get bodies in the box quickly. We've got three players in the box there. He's occupying the centre half. He's just pulled off the centre half backwards a small little bit here. Ball gets into the box. He gets on the end of the header and he powers it across the goalkeeper, where the goalkeeper is coming from to the goalkeeper's right, and it hits in midway in the goals. Absolutely brilliant breakaway goal. So when I speak about this guy and when I was talking about him earlier, that can he play the counter-attack? Will we look like a one-dimensional team that's just going to go long? This guy can get back and forwards. He can get up and down the field. He's not a laboured runner by any matter of means. And he jumps like a salmon here and powers this one into the back of the net, which I thought was really, really interesting to see. This is another one here. So this is, I think this might even be an assist that he made. So what happens here is that he's occupying the defender and he comes forward off the defender against the run, towards where the ball is being played from. Gets 3 yards of separation from the defender to show for the ball on the edge of the box. This instance, this was a dummy run. So what it does here is you can see that we've kind of left the defender here in no man's land. These two guys here on the edge of the D are expecting the ball to come into him. You can see where they're looking. They're looking for that pass. He's occupied at least two players in this instance here. And Mallorca have gotten players around the ball. This is against Atletico Madrid as well. So this is a top tier opposition. What we can see here is that dummy run, basically the ball gets played across the box and gets played into this position here where the player is has that ball in this instance here being closed down. What happens here is Vedat Muriqi, you can see the separation that he has 3 yards off that defender that's trailing him at the moment. He was 3 yards off him to start. He turns, he blows past him, gets into this position quickly. There is only, there's only 4 seconds between this. So when this ball is played in here, it's played in a bit more centrally. Then the cutting pass is played in here towards the accompanying striker. But what happens here is Muriqi just continues his run, gets past that defender, leaves him for dead over that short space. This man squares the ball across and Muriqi tucks it into the back of the net. So those little runs that he makes in and around the area, he occupies defenders. He's not afraid to get turned. He doesn't run into people. He's not a clumsy runner. I thought that was really, really interesting. So that is Vedat Muriqi. As I say, is he going to sign for Aston Villa? Once again, as I said at the start, I'd be surprised, given the fact he's only just moved to Mallorca. Recently, he's got a very good scoring record. He was an interesting character. And I think the reason that I do an awful lot of these is to try and find reasons as to why we're being linked with these players. And are these actually the types of players that the brain trust are maybe looking at to come in and complement the players that we have? So far, we've been linked to two players who've been well over 6 foot, who are mobile and can score goals, both headers, left foot, right foot. And I think that's really, really interesting. So whether you like it or whether you don't, guys, I'd really appreciate a subscription. I really appreciate a thumbs up on this. We're looking to get to 5,000 subs before the end of the year. It's the 1st of December when this is going out. So we've 30 days to make about 600 subs. That would be absolutely amazing if we could. It's looking unlikely, but you guys can try and help me with that one if you can. It costs you absolutely nothing to subscribe, and I would really appreciate hitting the 5K mark prior to Christmas, if at all possible. If you do like this, as I say, give it a thumbs up, share it with your friends. We will be back with more of these as and when conversations are reporting is happening with regards to people that we're being linked with. I will be back again tomorrow with another one on Mikel Merino. I know we were linked with him previously, a central midfielder from Real Sociedad. And I'll be back with a podcast on him tomorrow. So thank you so much for all you do in supporting the podcast. I really appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.